Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash the Raptor smithereens.
No, not this rock. This rock happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number three here on a Tuesday afternoon on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM. Watch going on YouTube.com/1080 AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080 AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with us on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, it's Tuesday afternoon. It is 2 o'clock-ish, which means it's time for three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't. Coming out of the NFL weekend that was.
Let's get it.
What is your first up?
My first up, Josh Allen and his new toy, Amari Cooper. Everybody was wondering how that would look. Finds him for a touchdown in the opening game. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. That trade with Cleveland may be a godsend to the Buffalo Bills.
To Amari Cooper and
yeah.
the Bills.
And now they beat up on the Titans 34-10. And on the surface, you're like, oh, yeah, you beat a 1-5 team. Yeah, good job there. Tennessee's been playing close games. I mean, all their games have been relatively close. I think there's only one other game that was not a one-score game, and that was a loss to the Green Bay Packers, where Will Levis literally did everything he could to give the ball to the other team. But the thing I think is most important about Amari Cooper being there is what that will do for the development of Keon Coleman. And we're already seeing one game in. Keon Coleman finally had that breakout game. Four catches, 125 yards in game one with Amari Cooper. Having another person that defenses have to pay attention to opens things up for these young wide receivers. Keon Coleman already had a big game. It's a big up for Josh Allen.
On that note, did you see the Keon Coleman, Amari Cooper discussion on the Amari Cooper touchdown?
Where he basically he told him where to go. Yeah. He said that in Keon Coleman said, knew where he was going. Yeah. I was just reaffirming. No, he was telling him where
he
to go.
He literally went. And look, you could see him go run the slant with his hand.
Look, that is huge for a young wide receiver to be in that leadership role to be like, hey, no, I can tell this guy. It helps with the mastery of the offense as a whole. I think it's all good. That was a cool little video and a great response from...
He didn't throw his guy under the bus of not knowing where he was supposed
to be.
He's
been there for less than a week.
He
got there. He got there.
My first up, King Henry. Getting Derrick Henry on a team with plus quarterback play, weapons on the outside, and he's not even in the peak of his career.
No.
Physically.
No, he's on the
he's going down the town slope. What he is doing right now, he may end up having one of the best, if not the best, rushing season we've ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, he could do it.
In an era where running backs are devalued and the running game is devalued to an extent publicly, where it's never actually disappeared in the NFL.
They're going to have a whole lot to play for all season long because that division likely won't be in hand late in the year.
Until late.
Yeah, it's the AFC North, baby. That's a great first step there. My second up is revenge. And revenge can wear several different hats. Revenge came from Saquon Barkley against his former team, the New York Football Giants. He ran wild on the Giants. 17 carries, 176 yards, and a touchdown. He averaged 10 yards per carry. As good as Derrick Henry was last night, Saquon Barkley had the best rushing weekend in the NFL. But what I think is even better is the audio that has come out of Nick Sirianni talking with Saquon Barkley at the end of that game.
You're 13 yards away from your career high. I would love for you to get that, but that's up to you. I'm going to take out all the starters if they don't score.
You good? Let them eat.
You sure?
Yeah, good.
You sure?
I promise.
Listen to me. I want you to do it if you want to do it.
So I'd rather see the young boys eat.
That's super cool because there's zero hesitation.
Yeah. How awesome is that? I want to see those young guys eat.
And you know what? That's salt in the wound to the Giants because he could have done it and was like, No. You booed me. You burned my jersey on the bus ride in. I'm going to give mercy on you.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is worse than him setting that record as him going, no, I could have had it.
Exactly.
Bigger, I didn't need to.
He could have spiked the ball.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Just go out. Because he could have broke 200. He could have broke 200.
He could have broke 200. Yeah.
Not a problem at all. My second up, Kansas City Death March. The Chiefs, despite Patrick Mahomes playing god-awful, he's more interceptions than he does touchdowns. He's not looked good this year, yet in moments that are necessary, he comes up huge. The defense comes up huge. They are undefeated because they just have this death march about them. I don't know if this is going to lead to a third straight title, a first three-peat. I lean towards no, because it was like, oh, if they're just doing it now without really firing on all cylinders, then imagine when they finally do. I don't think they're ever going to.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, I think this you're seeing what the wear and tear of back-to-back Super Bowls is. Losing players, injuries, the things that all need to line up your way, they're going to still be great.
Marching right along.
But for right now, they're just going to death march their way until you cut their head off.
Yeah. Yeah. They are scary right now. Mahomes will not play this bad all year long. He won't.
He won't.
He won't. All right. My third and final up. Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota.
Mm.
He got into a game.
And he wasn't awful.
He was good.
Yeah.
He wasn't awful. It's not that he wasn't awful. He was good. The Commanders absolutely beat the doors off of the Carolina Panthers 40-7.
So bad.
And I took them as one of my picks. They were -8, big old fat beefy line. And he came in when they were up 10-0. And I remember thinking to myself going, oh no.
Yeah.
There goes
and then
line.
Look what happened.
Yep.
By the way, 3-1 this week.
Oh.
And my other big fat beefy line also paid.
How about that?
Buffalo -9.5.
But Marcus Mariota went, and this is the part you just feel good for him because his career has been a roller coaster. 18 of 23, 205 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. 11 carries, 34 yards. He was only sacked once. I don't care if it's against the Carolina Panthers. He is playing the backup role to Jaden Daniels. And look, Mariota went out and he won that game. It was 7-0, a pick 6 to start the game by Andy Dalton. Remember that Andy Dalton is way better. No, he's not. Andy Dalton is not way better than Bryce Young. Their Panthers are terrible as an organization.
He may be way better than Bryce Young. It's just Bryce Young might be really bad.
He went 11 of 16 for 93 yards and 2 picks.
Which Bryce Young, I think, did almost the same thing.
He had a QBR of 3.
Didn't he have almost the same exact game but with 81 yards passing?
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, there's not a difference there, guys. Not a difference there.
And back to Mariota.
Why are they not playing Bryce Young?
They probably lost the locker room.
Andy Dalton's not gonna. He started the game with a pick 6. That's a touchdown to the other team.
It's fair.
It's like when he's the red rifle, but it's like when Ralphie shot himself in the eye.
Nobody saw that coming. Nobody saw that coming.
You'll shoot your eye out.
My third up is the Lions supremacy. Detroit Lions beat the Minnesota Vikings 31-29 and take hold of the NFC North. You want to know how tight that is? The Lions and Vikings are both 5-1. The Packers are 5-2. The Bears are dead last in the division at 4-2.
Oh boy.
And they still remain the worst plus minus or point differential in that division is +43 for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah.
The Lions and Vikings are 1 point apart, +61, +62.
Yeah.
The Lions and Vikings are going to have to revisit this matchup. And it's probably going to be for all the marbles in this division. But for right now, the best team in the NFC, your Detroit Lions.
I'm going the opposite way with my first down, and it's the entire NFC South, my friend. As a division, their point differential is -115. As a division.
Carolina counts for -133.
Okay. All right. So,
they are 200 points different
now
from the Lions.
You may be saying, well, yeah, the Carolina Panthers are really dragging that down. The AFC South this weekend went 0-4. They were outscored by 86 points as a division in 1 week.
In the, Not the AFC South.
Or NFC South.
There we go.
In 1 week, the NFC South was outscored by 86 points. That means they were losing by an average of 21 points per game. 21 and a quarter.
Which, again, a 10-point victory in the NFL is a thorough butt-kicking.
21 and a half. That division's terrible.
I'm telling you.
And we all saw that coming.
I think the Carolina Panthers might be the worst team ever. It legitimately might be the worst team ever.
They might be. They might be. I mean, if
because
they,
there's,
like,
there's
if they go
1-16 teams.
Those winless Lions.
But they didn't get beat like this. They didn't get beat by 40 a game, did they?
No, I don't think so.
As I'm saying, like, they found ways to lose some mildly winnable games, if I remember right. Like, they were bad. Don't get me wrong. They were bad.
Oh, no. They
were they this bad?
Yeah, yeah. They lost 34-21, 48-25, 30-13, 34-7, 12-10, 28-21, 25-17.
Yes, yeah, there's a lot more one-score games in there already.
Well, hold on. I mean, there's also a lot more of these 38-14s, 38-20s, 47-10.
Can you see the point differential there?
Of what their point differential on the season was? I can look that up. They were minus about 250. They scored 268, gave up 517.
Okay. Panthers are ahead of that pace at minus 133.
They were minus 249 on the year.
They're ahead of that pace right now.
Yeah. They were minus 249.
Good God. That's what I'm saying. Like, this might be the worst team we've ever seen.
Yeah, could be.
Goodness gracious.
Could be.
Oh. All right, my first down. Browns can't get right. Even when they get Deshaun Watson off the field, they can't handle it correctly.
How about this? The Panthers, though, have already won a game against your Raiders.
Andy Dalton.
So they'll always have that on.
On that team.
On the Lions.
So they'll have had a game with a positive point differential and still end up worse with a worse point differential if they keep this trend up.
That is it's what it's tracking as
That's
right
crazy.
Now.
That's crazy.
That's what it's tracking as right now.
But yeah, my first down is the Browns. Down go the Browns, as one does. Whether it's Myles Garrett or Jameis Winston, or now apparently leaks coming from the front office of, like, I didn't want Deshaun Watson. Even when what needs to be done happens through some form of cosmic justice, karma, whatever it is you believe in, they still can't manage to get out of their own way and stumble face first into stupidity.
Brown's gonna brown, baby.
Just, they can't stop.
My second down is injuries across the NFL, whether it is Jaden Daniels with his ribs, which it looks like he'll be okay. Mike Evans will not be back until week 12. Chris Godwin is out indefinitely with a dislocated ankle. DK Metcalf goes down with a sprained MCL. You have Deshaun Watson and his Achilles. We all feel so bad for that. Marlon Humphrey with a knee injury. Orlando Brown had a calf strain in their loss. Like, guys were dropping left and right across the NFL. I feel bad for him. Braxton Berrios for the Dolphins, ACL tear. Like, we're just seeing guys just falling left and right every single game.
It feels like we do this
Brandon
every
Ayuk,
year.
Knee. Yeah. Debo Samuel, sick.
He's released from the hospital.
Hey, good for him.
Out with pneumonia.
Good.
It feels like we do this every year, but I would very much like if one of the stat services was like, actually, this year there are more ACL tears, or actually, this year there are more severe injuries, or actually, this year it feels bad, but it's not. Like, it seems like nobody's actively talks about, like, how the ebb and flow of injuries through every NFL season.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Guess. Don't tempt fate. My second down is the Rams selling. Oh. It's a down because this is a team that you looked at and it was healthy. They were going to be feisty.
Uh-huh.
But organizationally, they're doing what's prudent if they do go down this path of selling and getting out early.
Prudent at this juncture.
But it also means likely the end of this era. The Stafford era, the McVay era, the Aaron Donald era, every bit of the best era of the Rams.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer to see it end with a whimper.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, greatest show on turf was pretty kick-ass. That was pretty kick-ass.
I should say, the greatest modern...
Yeah.
Post-2000 modern...
Yeah, one you was were done late in 90s, early 2000s.
02, 03
yeah.
with the Rams?
I mean, it's been a long time, though. Best yeah. L.A. Rams era.
There you go.
Best L.A. Rams
era. That's more
era.
What I was associating
because
with.
Because that goes back and forth. St. The St. Louis yeah. Rams was the greatest show on tour.
I don't know. Eric Dickerson might have a word.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they
didn't win a Super Bowl. Mean Joe Green, anybody? All right. I mean, he was a Steeler. You've got my third down, the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones went on his radio show again. You see what he had to say?
I know that the radio host that was there last week wasn't there. He was on vacation.
Oh, wow. He
did he take a vacation out of a seventh floor window?
Jerry Jones said this week that, you know, he doesn't think Derrick Henry would be productive in the Cowboys offense either.
Oh, it's like, sweet Moses.
Well, he's not lying, but I think that's a bigger indictment on Jerry Jones and the roster that he built.
Jerry Jones is a fantastic talent to evaluate. No, that's not right.
But not only did they get absolutely the doors beat off them by the Detroit Lions, they can't even win coming in their bye week either with the Jerry Jones comments. You know, we were just talking point differential.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen the point differential of the Dallas Cowboys?
Because I have now, because their cheeks.
They are a 500 team that is in the land of
god awful
the misfit toys. Yeah. The 1-5 Tennessee Titans have a better point differential than the 3-3 mm-hmm. Dallas Cowboys. A 1-5 team.
Mm-hmm. The Titans are garbage.
Mm-hmm. Means that but in six games, that means that they're like in-ish games.
The much maligned New York Jets are damn near 30 points better in point differential than the Dallas Cowboys.
The Browns and the Cowboys are in the same world of point differentials. The Giants and the Cowboys are in the same world of point differentials. The Cowboys suck.
They do. The Jacksonville Jaguars are only one touchdown worse.
Yeah. And look, early in the season, point differential stuff is like, eh. And yes, the Cowboys got absolutely boat raced by the Saints, which adds a big old chunk to this.
And by the way, a lot of the teams that are behind them have played seven games. Yeah. They've only played six. It could get worse.
It will get worse. And I'm here for it. I think we're all here for it. Keeping the suck train rolling.
Nope.
Wow. Hey, God, that's pretty on brand. I like that one. That is the Cowboys in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
My last down, Tua coming back. I don't mean that in a bad sense of, like, I don't want to see him play. Like, I don't enjoy his particular stylings. Or I genuinely fear for the guy. And I don't want to, like, this is going to sound so grim. I don't want to see a guy die on TV.
Yeah.
And, like, he's had so many vicious concussions. Like, that's on the table. And I just don't want to see that. And not even, like, in the sense of, like, selfishly. I'm like, dude. Hang it up. Your money's guaranteed. Go. Take your guaranteed money and retire. Go coach.
Not good.
Go be around the game in whatever capacity you can, man. But, like, especially not going out there with a guardian cap.
I still don't understand that.
I don't understand it, man.
I don't get it.
It's crazy. All right, that's our three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't coming out of the NFL weekend that was. Coming up to 2:30, we'll talk about a cool little wrap-up news notes about Ashton Jeanty. But in the meantime, we've got some NFL and some college football news that gets here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan. Some quick news and notes here in the NFL and college football. First in the NFL, somebody so talented but violently dumb, Jameson Williams has been suspended again, testing positive for PEDs.
I don't understand this. Like,
if you're Dan Campbell, do you lock him in a room and beat the hell out of him?
I mean, that's certainly an option, I guess.
Like, this seems like the kind of guy that needs, like, that kind of...
So let's rewind.
Forget the
on,
fines, forget the suspensions.
Yeah, let's rewind on Jameson Williams' career. Alabama tears his ACL. He misses the first 11 games of rookie year. Comes on at the tail end, plays really well, effectively, and that's the end of his rookie year, mm-hmm. right?
Remember,
season's over.
How did he get to Alabama?
I don't know. Buttload of cash? I don't
know. No, left Ohio State.
Oh, he did.
Yeah.
And then you have the fact that his sophomore campaign in the NFL, he gets suspended for six games, reduced down to four for betting on a sports betting app within the team's facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Big no-no. misses four games. Comes back, really effective, plays well. This year, playing really well, team doing really well. Mm-hmm. Suspended two games for violation of the league's performance-enhancing drugs policy.
First of all, stop buying your drugs off the shelf, dummy.
Yeah, they're very tight-lipped because the league hasn't technically announced it yet. They're saying what their source. Because usually the NFL will say what they test positive mm-hmm. for. I'd be interested to see what this one is because it's really hard to get popped in the NFL. Like, really hard. And that's why this is such a big red flag, is that it's like...
What happens is you...
How dumb are you?
You buy it... Look, it's the dark secret. I make jokes about it, but in professional sports, the reason guys, they all look the way they do is they are taking PEDs. So it's a staggering majority of them. They have masking agents. That's how this stuff works. And DeAndre Ayton got popped when he was in the air with the Suns because he was using PEDs that were off the shelf. Mm-hmm. Like, what ends up happening is some, usually, young players, like, hey, you know, you want to take this stuff? They go, yeah, I'll go take that stuff. And instead of having their guy go get them, Chris mm-hmm. Carter was right. Have a fall guy. They go buy something off the shelf somewhere. And then they take it, and then they get popped. Yep. That's what happens almost every single time. Every single time. It's insane. It's like, you've got all the money in the world. Stop being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Jameson Williams' problem. He's stupid.
That's big dumb right there.
And it's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
What? And the same with the gambling. It's like, what are you doing? Number one, you shouldn't be doing it. Number two, you shouldn't be doing it in the facility.
Yeah.
Being stupid or something.
But that is why they... That is why they reduced his... Mm-hmm. suspension from
six to four
is because there was some ambiguity. They found that they didn't know what determined within the facility,
sure.
right? Still very dumb.
Just don't bet.
And they thought they were good because they were betting college games, not NFL games.
Don't bet your just sport.
Don't do it.
It's so like, look, don't if you've got a gambling fix, there's a billion baseball and basketball games.
Yeah.
Don't bet your own sport.
I love that the NFL suspension for PEDs, though, is 11% of the season.
Like, not one, not two, not four, not 10. Just
yeah, two.
Two.
We want you back out here.
Because what is MLB is the only league that was like, PEDs are bad. The NBA and the NFL, like, they just sweep that stuff under the rug because they know and they don't want to know. It's like the NBA with marijuana.
Uh-huh.
They don't even test for it anymore. So they just went, we're good.
Yeah.
We're good.
I went, like, in this texture, don't be naive, it's steroids. No, it often is not.
It's not direct steroids. It's usually
not.
It's some form of, like, recovery.
Yeah.
Some HGH derivative.
Exactly.
That's typically what it is. It's not straight juice.
No.
That's the thing is, most guys don't use straight juice in sports anymore because of all of the stuff that comes with it. No. If it's anything, it's usually some sort of HGH line.
And it's usually with smaller guys like him,
mm-hmm.
it's very rarely steroids
mm-hmm.
because they're using things that will enhance their soft tissue
recovery. Yep.
And that's why I'm wondering how dumb this one was.
And it was probably when it comes out, I will be shocked if it's not because it's like they immediately identified some off the shelf marker.
No doubt. And you're going, great.
Like, what are you doing,
dummy? Covered up just a little bit.
Like, and here's the horrible part. Every one of these teams has a doctor, and you can go to that guy and ask them.
Mm-hmm.
They won't give it to you.
No. Well,
some of them will, because we've already seen that. But they'll guide you on how to do this stuff.
They let you know what
you need to do.
That's what a lot of their personal trainers do that.
Yeah, but I'm saying there's no shortage of people that you can find
mm-hmm.
to keep you out of this kind of trouble.
Yeah.
Because in reality, it shouldn't be any issue.
Yep.
So the other part of this is, not for him, but in college football, Curtis Rourke had surgery to repair his thumb, which was his thumbnail got ripped off.
That is a... Ugh. Quarterback, by the way.
Yes, for Indiana.
Indiana, the 7-0.
He is Indiana due Hoosiers. To be back November 2nd. I don't know whether do they like graft something hard back there to...
It sounds like there was something else going on, not just his nail.
But like, did the nail come off and the bone came through kind of a deal?
They initially said he was out indefinitely. I've never heard of a surgery for any sort of nail issue.
I mean, you got to get something back there. If you ever seen like the back, unfortunately, I've seen one that was really bad that it literally like ripped all the way back, like peeled it like a banana.
Okay.
And that did require surgery because there was nothing left to work with, kind of a deal.
They're saying that it is only 1 week,
which
that
is
going to miss.
Crazy. And this is on his throwing hand, on his thumb, and it's been opened up via surgery.
Yeah.
Like, that just seems kind of crazy, right?
Yeah.
Like, playing with stitches in your hand just seems crazy as a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, he's been wildly effective, too. They are one program. Science needs to study Kurt Cignetti.
In the black
Indiana
magic
football.
That he has?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just to see what they're doing, where they're getting this from. Because they have 27 guys who are contributing to that team that are brand new to that roster, and they are a wagon right now.
Absolute wagon. They are the definition of wagon. Speaking of wagons and black magic, Ashton Jeanty, Heisman hopeful, and all around just a great story. We'll get to that in more coming up here. But first, it's the Big Kahuna with the Sports Center Update. The Ashton Jeanty train just continues to go on and on and on. And if he continues to do what he has done against UNLV, it's pretty likely that he could wrap up the Heisman Trophy in the next couple weeks.
As long as he stays healthy. And this is going to be a big week because Boise playing UNLV, I mean, that's like their last shot at a significant bump in the road for them. When you look down at the schedule and what is in front of Boise State, I mean, they've got the way that they've been playing right now, they've been making quick work of a lot of teams. And they got UNLV this week, which is one lost team. Then they have San Diego State, Nevada, San Jose State, Wyoming. And the war of attrition has just beaten up the Oregon State Beavers. They wrap up the season against Oregon State. And they're, look, B fans know this. There's one thing they like. They like wrecking parties at the end of the year. And so that Thanksgiving weekend game against Boise State may be one where they can become a party crasher. But the way that Jeanty is operating right now, there's no doubt about it. I mean, hell, the dude almost has more rushing yards than his quarterback has passing yards.
If you're a team in the college football playoff and you're getting one of those first round games, how terrified are you of Boise State? If they get in that spot?
Depends on who you are. I mean, it really does, because of the fact that, look, they're going to battle the war of attrition too over the course of a year. But if you have a really good run defense, I think you're going to feel comfortable. Like if you're Tennessee, where you may not win the SEC, but you're going to be a playoff team, you're going to feel good about that because of how damn good you've been against the run all season long. But, I mean, if you get gashed, you're going to have some concerns about having Ashton Jeanty come to your place.
Because it just feels like that's one of those teams where you're like, yeah, they're, you know, a group of five, but of all of the teams that could possibly get that spot, that one has a dude that can break your game plan.
Mm-hmm. And take your crowd out of games too, because that's exactly what Boise did at Austin Stadium. Mm-hmm. Is they took the crowd out of the
just
game,
grind it down.
Now their team is not good. If we go back and we look at that Boise Oregon game, especially when they changed the offensive line and ran for 93 yards in the second half, like that game looked a lot different. The fumble, there was a lot of pivot points in that game where Oregon was ready to steal momentum and kind of close doors on that game, but they just were unable to. But Ashton Jeanty makes a big-ass difference when he can create explosives in that run game. And everybody's been kind of asking the question, like, how did this dude just, like, slip through the cracks?
Mm-hmm.
And they make a big point of it on broadcast to say, well, you know, he was an Army brat, right? His family was stationed in Italy, and, you know, they kind of chalk it up to that. 24/7 Sports did a really good chat with his high school coach, Jeff Rayburn, because he didn't come from, like, some small town he didn't go from Italy to, like, some small town Texas team.
No.
He played at Lone Star High School, which also is the high school where Broncos receiver Marvin Mims went. Chiefs linebacker Nick Bolton. Saints linebacker Jalen Ford.
Look, if you have multiple current NFL players on your from your high school team or from your high school program, chances are you got yourself a program.
Yeah, they talked to his coach in Frisco. It's a 5A school, so it's a bigger school in the state of Texas too. They talked to his high school coach, and it was like fascinating to kind of hear the origin story, because they said that when they saw Genty's tape when he transferred in, he went there after his freshman year of high school. They said that they were watching tape of a guy who was just beating up on a bunch of other kids on an army base, and they were like, "Hey, we see some skill, but how good is he?
Yeah, how much does it translate? Because it's just military brats."
And then he went into it and said that like he was such a dynamic athlete, they put him at receiver his first year. That was because the running back that he was behind ended up at Oklahoma State and is now at Western Michigan, and was a really good running back at the high school level. And it was like, you kind of wait your turn and then you pop. He said what killed Ashton Genty, though, was the fact that he wasn't in that recruiting pipeline. Wasn't a guy that went to camps in eighth grade where people started seeing him. The same thing that kept him out of the backfield at his high school, his own high school, was what kept him back from being recruited by other schools, which is, I think, the dumbest part of sports is you. And it's like, we have to groom these kids. Like in eighth grade, if you're not on the radar, you're getting passed by. His high school coach said that they had bunch of coaches come in and say, he's better than the guys that we have, but they committed to us for, you know, a year or two ago. So we don't have a spot for him right now. And Boise was like, we will take him.
Yeah. And that's what places like Boise, that's where they thrive.
Yep.
That's where they find those late bloomers. I mean, you go back to all of the Boise State teams that have been great, and they're loaded with late bloomers or under-recruited or guys that played in places that weren't as highly recruited, or they got the mysterious three-star, yet the first year they're on campus, they're like, this is a four, like you could squint and see a five-star prospect here because somebody didn't like them somewhere or some sort of reclamation project.
And that was the thing with like Genty in high school. He was so his junior year, which they had two backs, this Jaden Nixon guy who's went to Oklahoma State and is now at Western Michigan, they had a two-headed backfield where they're like, we got two D1 guys in this backfield.
Which is insane.
That just happened to be Marvin Mims' senior year where he like broke state records in Texas for receiving. And so that diminished carries from him again. His senior year, he had 2,600 yards and 41 touchdowns. He led the nation in touchdowns like for a bulk of his senior year in Texas at a like prominent high school.
Which would think you'd vault you up some lists, but at that point in time, everything's already taken.
Everything's already taken. But like the thing about Genty, and this is kind of like his high school coach says, it's that military background that he came from. He said that that's what kept him at Boise. His roommate at Boise State was Talen Green, who's now the quarterback at Arkansas. And they were really good friends, roommates from the same area in Texas. And when Andy Avalos got fired, there's turmoil. Genty would have been the number one target in the portal. But that loyalty, even when his roommate and his best friend on the team says, look, there's a quarterback battle here, deuces, I'm out, Genty still stayed. Like, everything about Ashton Genty, I'm picking up what Ashton Genty's putting down. Like, he just loves Boise because they gave him the shot, and he's going to be loyal to them.
And we haven't talked about this. His stance in the backfield is awesome. I love it. For those of you who haven't seen it, he literally just stands there. Think of the Derrick Henry coin toss meme of Derrick Henry standing at midfield, waiting for the coin toss, just standing menacingly with his arms at his side.
He looks like Michael Myers.
Yeah, he just stands there, doesn't bend his knees, no like forward lean. Just, and what's crazy is he snaps. As soon as the ball is snapped, he snaps to it. And it's a level of explosion that's crazy because he gets to the line and then he almost stops and delays. But you see this like reaction time. It's almost like an F1 driver. And it's mildly jarring. The more I watch it, the more I'm like, does this screw with people?
Well, you're seeing it a lot more from running backs, and especially shorter running backs now, are kind of taking a page out of Genty's playbook, because his high school coach said, didn't do that here. Mm-hmm. Didn't do it in when he was in Texas. I wonder how much it is that he kind of needs to stand upright so he can see. I'm telling you, he is not 5'9".
Yeah, you said he wasn't 5'9" in helmets and cleats, or helmet and cleats.
No. No.
But he's every bit of 215.
Every bit of 215. Yeah. But I wonder how much of that just kind of is in play where, one, you can't lean. You can't give away any which way you're going. So that kind of gives you some semblance of keeping the defense honest. But also he can actually see everything when he's not crouched down.
It's fun. All right, coming up next, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show. Maybe laugh at some NBA stuff and hinge off to Isaac Zook here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. Basketball's back, suckers.
Yeah.
Let's deal with it.
Let's go.
I'm excited. You do have the ring ceremony tonight for the Boston Celtics taking on the New York Knicks. And the Minnesota Timberwolves taking on the Los Angeles Lakers. I don't know why, I don't know how, but Bronny is continuing to get Rookie of the Year love in the betting books, and people are dumb. And if you're willing to throw away your money, I will give you my Venmo.
Okay, yeah. Let's start.
I don't know
if you can start your own book. I think that the Oregon Lottery may make you go the way of Sherry's you do that.
Wow.
And that would be make you go away, sir.
Sherry's is actually a big crime.
Yeah. Yeah. What if that's what it was? They were
they were actually organized crime.
No, they would never.
No.
But I think that money that is coming in is just because there's great value in Bronny, because nobody thinks he has a chance to win Rookie of the Year.
Which means you shouldn't bet on it.
You should not bet on it. That's why Vegas is going to keep the lights on for a lot longer
it's in perpetuity.
Dumb.
It's so dumb.
But did you hear Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr. going to be in attendance tonight?
Oh, my God.
I think that is pretty cool. Yeah. I think that is
Nike's
cool.
Nike's paying for it all.
Having you play with your dad, that'd be awesome.
It is the first time in the NBA, and honestly, it might not happen tonight.
Yeah. Well, BS.
I hope J.J. Redick just does it and gets it over with.
Yeah, Adam Silver may...
Like, you better play him.
...walk down and insert Bronny into the game himself.
Grab him by his ear like Uncle Adam.
Yeah, just...
You think Bronny calls him Uncle Adam?
With his pitchfork.
Uncle Adam, no!
With his pitchfork from American Gothic.
But I don't want to play with my dad.
Definitely gonna
I don't know why he sounds like Mickey Mouse, but...
Yeah, he did sound a little Mickey there, huh? We're going to see it. He won't win the Rookie of the Year. Let's just get this out of the way. Please, can we get it out of the way?
And then we can move on to the more important things, like the Portland Trailblazers playing tomorrow night.
Against the Warriors.
And we will talk more basketball tomorrow.
The
more
quest
simply.
For under 21.5
continues.
Again, all right.
A line I'm not touching.
That will do it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's Prime Time with Isaac Souk. Have a great day.
Bye.
They got some spicy mustards for those wieners.